hand of praise for Allie. You know, it's common to be a little woozy and drunk in this place. And, you know, I thank God to give us the legs to stand in the glory. And I want to thank all those that are here today and also those that are logging on live. I want to give special thanks to Rachel and Jim. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Rachel and Jim, for them, not only as they work the website and get the message out on a weekly and daily basis, but also to train up the girls and let them be able to learn how to enter into that place of worship, and they're doing a great job. So let's give another hand of praise for those that are working diligently along with this ministry. And our website, I know that is just blowing up. And we have thousands upon thousands. I lost track of the numbers. Rachel will give, soon she'll come up one day and give us what's happening anyhow. But I just know that it's blowing up. We're over 10,000 plus, something like that. And it's people from all around the world, which is so awesome. We have a message that is bringing to the whole world, and that's what's important. God, I believe, is doing something in this hour, and we are coming to an end of an age and a beginning of a new age, and they call this new age a millennium age. How many people have heard that before? And God is wanting to, pour out new wine and allow us to obtain new wineskins. How many people understand that one? New wine is like a new revelation, and new wineskins is a form or a body to be able to receive the new revelation. And we are trying to reach a new generation. You know, and I've said this in the past, the harvest is not for the end of the age. The harvest is for the beginning of the age. And we are leaving an age, and God is raising up those who have been equipped and instructed and guided to understand the voice of the Lord. And I thank God for your testimony. I thank God for the growth that is happening, because we're understanding what the anointing is. We're understanding what that still small voice is. You know, where Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I mean, we're operating in that, and we're forsaking our lives, because we're not sure what the outcome is. You know, sometimes we face circumstances and God is ministering to us and he knows what the future is. We don't. And all of a sudden we have a battle between the spirit and the flesh. You know, and that's what this ministry is about. Understanding the flesh and understanding the spirit, so that we can divide the two and be transformed into the spirit, so that we can understand what it is to be in spirit. With that being said, God is raising up, I want to say, leaders and generals within this hour at an end of an age who has been equipped, but there's fresh manna that's being poured out. There's fresh revelation that is being poured out, and we need to grab hold of this. And one of the things that I'm strongly convicted about, and I might be persecuted, but we have to understand that conviction, right? We have to understand that still small voice in our heart that tries to lead us and guide us, despite going to the cross. Despite, today's Palm Sunday, you know? And can you imagine Jesus? He was being praised, and then the next day he was persecuted. Why? Because he understood that still small voice. And some persecution will come when you walk in the obedience of God. When you walk in that conviction, you walk in that still small voice, there is sometimes persecution. And I'm ready for it. How many are ready for, you know, just to be obedient to the Father? You know, I can care less what the world thinks. I just want to be obedient to the Father. I used to share before, you know, I don't speak to anyone. I speak to the host of angels. You know, I'm ministering to God, and God's ministering to me. I hope, you know, as Jesus said, if they have an ear to hear, let them hear. You know, my eyes have been opened up tremendously about different denominations and different sects and, you know, different, you know, flows of religion. And we can't judge, you know. What brings such a strong conviction to an individual to the point where they lay their life down to that doctrinal message. You know, you take someone completely opposite to us, Muslim, right? Muslim's different than Christianity, wouldn't you think? And then yet you would say to yourselves, they're influenced by the powers of darkness. And that may be true. Or may not be true. I don't know. You know, there's wars of heavens inside of heavens and things like that. And then you have the other denominations out there with strong convictions, right? How many people are understanding what I'm saying here? You know, we can't condemn. I think the world has a pattern of, let's just convert everybody to how I believe. And let's attack them, and let's make sure that we convert them to, you know, Christianity or Judaism or Muslim or whatever it might be. Well, that's not the word that God is saying in this hour. Because I know through my conversion, through my conviction, through my experience, it was said, go back and tell them about my Father. So what I'm saying is, it's not about the prophets that are out there. It's not about the denominations. It's about the relationship with God. It's about the spirit and the war against the flesh and the spirit. And for us, if those that are here and those that are out there listening around the world, if you're convicted to this word that is being spoken, I look at that, you are called to come into this tribe. Sam and I, we were talking about this earlier, Pastor Sam, and you know, it was like enlightened, and it was like, oh my God, we're in a tribe. It's not a religion, it's a tribe. And there's many tribes out there throughout the nations. And you know, when you have an ear to hear what they're saying, you might be connected to that tribe. That may be who you are. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? And so God doesn't desire any divisions amongst us. He just desires that his word is being spoken through those that are convicted with that message, to be able to hear the word and speak the word, and then let God cipher out who should hear and who shouldn't hear, you know, and not be problemized, I guess if that's a word, that they may not be hearing what you're saying, or may not understand what you're saying, or what have you. So I thank God we're living in an age, and this is not my message, this is almost like an introduction to the nation and to us today, that we're living in an age that we have to be willing and yield to the manna, to the new wine that is being poured out, and don't feel conformed, but hold tight to that conviction. Hold dear to that conviction, because I truly believe that God is raising up some strong leaders right now in this hour to reach the new generation that's coming in, the millennium age. And I'm going to tell you right now, the millennium age that is coming in sees differently than we do. They have a whole different way of looking at things. And I have children, and I thank God. I let them conform to the spirit that's within them. And I watch the manifestation of the spirit of God in this age manifest through them. And they see things different than we do. How many people understand this one? And so we need to allow God to minister to us, to bring the word that is going to attract, that is going to draw those to salvation. It's all about saving souls. It's not about who's right and wrong, good and bad. It's about bringing his word to attract, to save souls, so that they will learn and understand and know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world, the age that is coming in, does not want the old wine. They're not looking for the old wine. The old wine is done. And the new wine is being poured out right now. And the messages that are being poured out in this ministry is the new wine, and may be offensive to a lot of those who are carrying that old wineskin. But I don't care. You know, God will close the door on those who have a debased mind. And I hope and pray that those that are out there begin to yield themselves to humility and begin to hear what the Spirit is saying. How many people understand what's going on here? And there is an outpouring of a glory. And we need to grab hold of this glory. We can't be proud in our doctrine. We have to, what did Paul say? I count everything, every day as dung, so that I would know him the more. So I would imagine that he was always moving in that fresh revelation. God, I just want to know you the more. I don't want to get adamant about what I knew 10 years ago or 5 years ago or even a year ago. I want your conviction of your word. I want to hear your word, and I want to shout your word from the rooftop. And I believe in this hour, God is leading us and guiding us into something that is very dear. I believe he wants to pour out heaven. He wants to endure us with power. He wants a relationship with us. And we thought in the past that we had a relationship because we gave our hearts to, you know, God. We gave our hearts at the altar. We believed and confessed that our sins were forgiven. But how do we know that God really hears us? How do we know? Because, you know, there are scriptures in there that God is enlightening me, and there is a scream in my heart about a part in scripture where there were those that went and left this earth and came to him in that time of glory, and they were standing before the gate. And God says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. How many people heard that scripture verse before? And then they cried out, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We did this, we did that, we did all these things. And there was a sincerity in their heart that they really were trying to defend themselves and say, what do you mean? I did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And I was like, oh my God, Lord, what are you trying to say? And he's like, I'm in an hour that I am moving. The wind is blowing constantly, and people aren't blowing with the wind. They're not moving with the wind. They're not flowing in the river. They're not flowing. They have reached the point of being adamant, stagnant, and stiff-necked in their message, so to say, in their way of doctrine. They've been indoctrinated, and they can't change from it. They can't divert from it. They can't do anything from it. And God is saying, no, no, no. There's a river flowing, and this river has to flow. And the wind is blowing, and this wind has to blow. And I want those that have an ear to hear and grab hold of the wind and grab hold of the river and be a part of the new wine and flow with what is happening. And God is flowing right now. And he is speaking to us in this hour because he's equipping us to be able to be one with heaven, one with eternity. There are many out there that sincerely had a heart to hear God and know God and do his will. But then there's a point where they have reached a stagnant place and where they are just at this point of head knowledge. And there's a point now where God is saying, I want you to release the head knowledge. And I want you to just flow and let the Spirit of God to move and convict. And before we can even get to that place, we have to be broken. We spoke a message about prayer. And we spoke about what God is doing in this hour. And I said to us, forget about prayer. The way we used to pray, throw it away. How many people remember that? And most of the time, how did we pray? For our needs, I would imagine, right? And God is saying he wants us to grow. It's time to mature. I already know what your needs are. I already know what your needs are before you even ask them. So I'm tired of you using vain, repetitious words. I already know your needs. Please, you're like bothering me. I want you to really know how to pray. I want you to really know how to pray. And then the Lord began to reveal to me the parable, the mystery of when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. And so Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many people know that prayer? And it broke down segments of really prayer became an attitude, a disposition, a heart place. So I began to really pray and ask God, Lord, you got to really show me prayer. I want to know prayer. Because if you hear things in Scripture like God resists the proud and then he gives grace to the humble, you know, you hear these things, and, you know, I remember having a vision of this person, this woman, and she had her hands buried, her head buried in her hands, and she was weeping. And I was like looking at God and looking at this woman weeping, and she was weeping and in prayer. And I was like, Lord, pointing, don't you see this? Don't you see this? God, don't you see this? And he was like, nope. I'm like, but, you know, they're praying to you, you know? They're crying out for help. And he just began to show me the vanity and the reasons of the help that, you know, they were crying for. And he's like, I need to let things happen, and she's asking me to do something that, you know, she don't understand, and, you know, and I don't want to listen to it anymore. Interesting, isn't it? So I began to start saying, God, I got to understand what you're trying to say here in this hour. I want to know what's going on. He says, I'm moving, and I'm doing things that are not to our understanding. It's far beyond what we can comprehend or even imagine. And so what I need is I need people to understand how to war against the flesh, how to cast down darkness, how to combat against fear and worry, because most of the prayers that are being offered are all in fear and in worry. And God is saying, I want them to cast down and work past and put these powers under their feet. I'm looking for those who are willing to stand in my love, willing to stand in my truth, willing to stand in my trust. And then I began to understand. I went, oh my goodness. I begin to start seeing the Lord and how he's equipping us into a character, into a disposition of how we should carry ourselves in prayer and pray without ceasing. I remember telling a story when I was all full of fire and just learning to know God. And I'm like, how do you pray without ceasing, you know? And I'm on my face, and then I'm like looking at somebody and I'm praying, you know, not even paying attention. And I'm over here doing the, you know, tongues of angels, and I'm just trying to pray 24/7 without ceasing. And God used to laugh at me and giggle and say, oh, that's so cute, you know. I love the zeal this little boy has, you know. And then he began to enlighten me of what praying without ceasing is. And so the Father's prayer of showing that how magnitude and how great God is established in our heart. And then to come to that place of longing to hear his voice and to know his voice. And then to bring ourselves into a place of forgiveness so that our Father in heaven can forgive us. You know, that's very valuable. That's important. If we don't forgive others, our Father in heaven will not forgive us. So there's a point where we have to change the way we're thinking. We have to renew our minds and begin to be mature in our thinking and have the mind of Christ so that we can walk in prayer 24/7 without ceasing. When you are done in that area, what was began to show me is then there was a broken humility of that we're all subject to fall. We're all subject to fall. So our heart was placed in that place of, Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. There's a heart that we walk with that is always there knowing that we are subject to fall. How many people understand this one? And never get that place of, no way, it isn't going to happen to me. I'm, you know, no way. I'm, Listen, a little leaven spoils a whole bunch, and it comes in and crouches, and the enemy is, you know, roaring around looking to devour, and we always have to be in check, always. So when we have that heart of knowing that we're subject to temptation, we're subject to fall, we're pleading. We're walking in humility, pleading, asking God to give us the wisdom so that we don't fall into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Then I began to look at this part and I said to myself, this is interesting, Lord. And he says, listen, I lead all my people into temptation. I lead them all to test, the trials and the testings. I love you, so I put testings and trials on you. And these suffering, it desires me to chasten those who I love. And so he brings us into testings, into temptations. And I said, well, show me, you know, what are you talking about? And then instantly I saw Jesus being led into the desert for 40 days, right? And he was tempted by the devil. He was led into temptation. And he was delivered from the evil one. And then what happened? Once he got out of the desert, he was endured with power, and he was ministered by the angels. Well, I want you to know, when you walk with this character, with this disposition, with the Spirit of God in this truth, and you have this heart of delivering me from the evil one, this is all you need to really know. You don't have to know your temptations, and you don't have to know nothing. All you have to know is, deliver me from the evil one. And God will begin to bring you out of your temptations. And not only will he bring you out, but he will endure you with power. Not only will he endure you with power, but he will also send angels to minister to you and to pour into you and equip you and bring you into higher levels and lift you up and continue to bring you into higher levels of knowing him. Can you imagine Paul when he says, I count everything I know as dung so that I would know him the more? He kept saying, I don't want to know more. I'm going to tell you right now, his heart was laid out in the area of deliver me from the evil one. And angels just came and ministered to him. And constantly minister to him. And when angels come and minister to you, I want to tell you right now, you are receiving revelation. You're receiving growth. You're getting stripped away from the whys. And actually, believe it or not, self is dying. Because it's not all about you anymore. God reveals these things, and then all of a sudden, self dies. Now he's bringing us into a place of not only knowing how to characterize ourselves and walk in prayer, but now he's bringing us into a more of a refining fire, I want to say. And all of us know about the flesh and about the spirit. Amen? It's like a conflict between the two. But God is saying, I want more spirit. I want to be able to see growth and be transformed in a realm of spirit. And we're coming into love. And love is a love that is greater than what we can imagine. And we've heard a lot of these things before, but what level, what magnitude have we really applied to our own hearts? And I believe this is what God is saying. You know, when those individuals came to the Lord and they said, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And then he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That had to show me something, that they had a lot of head knowledge. They had a lot of head knowledge to the point where they were able to quote, you know, they were able to do the works. They were able to do all these things. But the work that God desires is for us to decrease, for us to literally subdue the flesh and begin to raise the spirit. And I believe in this hour, God is trying to say something to us about the spirit. And in communication and relationship with God. Now, if you're like me, You want to be able to commune with God. Amen? And you want to know that when you do pray, because we are going to pray, but it's not going to be the prayers that we pray. For one, we're going to conduct ourselves. I hope everyone is listening. And we're going to begin to bring our character, our disposition in this place of prayer. And then there's other ways of praying, which we'll get into this, but not right now. There are tongues of angels, and we'll move on past that and all these other things, because some people may believe them, some people may not believe them, whatever they want to do, you know, they can do whatever they want. But it is a sound. And this is what I want to talk about. That God is a spirit. He's a creature of spirit. He is a being of spirit. And spirit has a language, a sound. And sometimes we don't really grab hold of this. We overlook this. But, you know, as I was contemplating on, Lord, how do you bring this across to people? And he simply said to me, everything in the earth communicates. In heaven, he says, if you don't worship me, I'll get the rocks to worship me. So obviously, there's communication coming from the rocks. How about that one? But what the Lord was revealing to me was, he said, you know, why don't you just talk about something that they can actually relate to? Because I'm sure that they're not going to relate to that flowers communicate, leaves communicate, trees communicate, you know, rocks communicate. And all. You know, they'll really get quirky on you, Jim, and then like maybe tar and feather you. So don't even talk about that. Talk about something that they can actually receive. And I was like, okay, Lord, what is that? And he says, they're pets. They talk to their dogs. They talk to their cats. They talk to their gerbils. They talk to, the, you know, everything. They talk to all their pets and everything. And I started laughing, and I'm like, you're right. How does your dog or your cat know exactly what you're saying? And literally, they don't. You think your dog knows English? If you think your dog knows English, I ain't going to have to send you to get some help. But your dog knows a sound. It knows the tone. It knows that sound. So when you say no, they hear no. You know, they hear a sound. When you say come here, they hear come here. You know, they hear a sound. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? And God is a spirit. So when you communicate to your pet, you're actually communicating to the pet spirit. But we don't really look at it this way, do we? We never really thought this deep, have we? We really never brought ourselves to this place of an understanding. And believe me, I spoke to my dog many times and I thought he understood English. You know, I never really opened up my mind or my heart to really grab hold of this truth until God began to stir me and say, oh my God, because when he spoke to me and says, Jim, these people have to understand and know that I am spirit. So someone from Singapore who is speaking Chinese, and then we, you know, have this thought pattern about man that, oh, well, God knows everything, so he knows all the languages of the earth. Well, how do you know that God is actually hearing them? We just assume that God is hearing them, aren't we? Well, God is not hearing everything. And then God began to start leading me to Scripture. He started leading me to the sounds where he goes around looking for that broken, contrite heart. And that cry of a broken heart is a sound. And I began to start hearing what God was saying. And I'm like, oh my God, Lord, is that how you found me? You know, I didn't find God. He found me. And because I was somewhere crying, and there was a sound that was in the heavens, just like you. Somewhere along the line, you made a sound in heaven. And God heard your sound. And then there's another sound. He says, you know, make a joyful noise. You know, there's sounds that come forth. There's some scripture, Psalms. And if anyone has ever read the Psalms, I'm going to tell you right now, everyone would would try to relate to the book of Psalms that it's all about music. But it's not. You know, he spoke about love, and if you don't have love, you sound like a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass, right? And we're relating it to music, but it's a sound. It's a sound, and it goes much deeper than this. There are different parts of the spirit that orchestrates sound. And there's a language, just like you put words in order to make a sound. There's different sounds in heaven, and I hope and pray that God begins to reveal all these sounds to us so that we can communicate properly with him. But what I'm looking for right now is for us to bring the sounds that we can bring to him, which is dispositions of peace and joy. Peace is a sound. Joy is a sound. The righteousness of God is a sound. Brokenness is a sound. Humility is a sound. And when we can categorize all this, you know, God understands and he interprets our sound. He knows our heart. And when our heart manifests these things, he moves us. And when we're moved by the Spirit, he orchestrates the sound to be able to hear what we are saying to him. Do you know that God is a magnitude beyond our intelligence, far beyond what we can comprehend or imagine? And so our hearts are longing to know him the more. And when our hearts are there longing to know him the more, that brokenness will begin to speak to him. And that brokenness will tell him what you need. So there's no need for us to really communicate English to God. It's more of a surrender. Not my will, but your will be done. And he interprets in that brokenness. And let's take Jesus for an example. Jesus himself had to endure the cross. And he was in some severe pain. And he went into prayer and he sweat blood. Right? So he went into a place where I'm sure he was trying to communicate with God the best he could. And he's bringing the old prayer warriors down. And I think the time when God heard Jesus was when he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." I believe all that was translated into brokenness. And in that brokenness, God heard what he was really trying to say. I want to do your will, but I don't want to feel the pain. How many people have been there before? Lord, I want to do your will, but I don't want to feel the pain. And so God honored that and allowed him to do the will, and no pain was brought on him. I don't believe that the pain he endured, the suffering, was counted to him. And I believe that says it in Scripture somewhere too, that it wasn't counted him for the pain that was endured upon him on the cross. But I don't have the exact words, but if you read it, you'll find it. I'm sure it's there. I have enough conviction in there that it's there. You just have to read it. So in Psalms, it's not all about stringed instruments. It's not all about that. They're trying to bring a sound to us. And in Psalms 33, verse 1, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy." So David was trying to show us, and look, a lot of times it's very hard to interpret what the Spirit is saying. So we take what we know and we try to bring it across based on what we know. And we know music, we know string instruments, we know sound, but these string instruments, how do you know each string doesn't mean a certain type of joy and peace and righteousness? There's a 10-string instrument somewhere that we're learning about. You know, there's a language that we call the language of angels, or the tongues of angels, or just tongues. And some of us might understand that language or heard of it from somewhere before, or are familiar with it. But that language is given not based on your understanding, but by releasing your will and allowing your mouth or your tongue or what have you to flow. Amen? And those that have understood the language of angels, it's not you that is involved, but there's a sincere and love to know God more. There's a sincere and love to communicate and allow him to hear what you're saying and hope that that language is going to him. And then there's another level of being able to get earthly interpretation over it. And this is a whole nother level of prayer. And I don't really want to move in and speak about this level right now. I want us to grab hold of a knowledge of understanding that the Spirit and the knowledge of the Spirit is deep. And deep is calling upon deep right now. And to never get ourselves in a place of complacency or to the point of just not pressing in anymore. How many people are understanding this? Okay, because what will happen is you will get dry. And as you get dry, you will revert back to your old ways. You will never go forward. You will never be revived. Death will come upon you, and you'll begin to rot from the inside out. I've seen many who have fallen away from the fire of God. I've seen many who have labored, once had the fire, and then has labored in it, and who has lost the fire, but they continued to labor in it, and through that labor, they became bitter. How many people understand what I'm saying? And they became angry, bitter, and hopeless. So they never really tried to step out and move and exercise into their gifts, moved and exercised into their prayer, moved and exercised further into their growth. They became stagnant. And they just lost. And then they divert it back to what they're comfortable with. God is looking for those that are going to rise up in this hour and come out of their comfort zone and be willing to be persecuted. Because let's take prophecy. Because, you know, when God spoke about love, he went right into the greatest gift is love. But I hope that you would all prophesy. So let's just take prophesying. How many people would step out in faith, release prophecy, and then go back and let themselves be tormented? Was that a word from the Lord, or was that from me? Or, you know, did they get understanding? Did they get anything out of that, or whatever? You know, and just constantly be tormented. Amen? Look, we're all at fault with that, right? You know, and so what happens is we end up taking a couple of steps back, and, you know, God wants to reignite a fire that is inside of us because you're called. Bottom line, if you're hearing my voice, you're called. If you are hearing this voice, whether you're around the world or here or wherever, you have been called. And we need to just begin to grab hold of the new. We need to grab hold and hear what God is saying and take ourselves completely out. Because time is short. He has raised up a generation of the last generation. And as there is a harvest, and the harvest is great, but it's not to those in the old generation. It's the new generation. The harvest is for the new. And so there's new wine, new wineskins. Who's ready to put on the old on the new wine and a new wineskin. Okay? There's going to be some things that the Lord is going to speak to you, and he's already speaking to us right now. I'm going to tell you right now, it's Palm Sunday. We honor Jesus. We honor what's happening on Easter. Amen. We're honoring what happened 2,000 years ago. But I'm going to tell you right now, God is saying, Jim, it's the old wine. And a lot of people might get upset about this. They might be willing to persecute us in some sense, or persecute me because I'm the one that's saying it. And then there's others who are grabbing hold of it and they're hearing it and they're walking in their own conviction. And they're saying, hey, now I'm going to tell you, I will never dishonor who Jesus is. That's rule number one. I will never, never dishonor who he is. Never. When I was up in the heavenlies, he said to me, I was the lamb that was slain. I was the lamb. Okay? Let them understand who I was. I was the lamb that was slain. And tell them about my Father. I want to take you to the book of Revelations. I want to share something with you. And, you know, I was sitting in my living room and the glory was coming in and Sam happened to be there. Pastor Sam. And a lot of times the Shekinah glory will come into the room and, you know, I'm drunk and all of a sudden God just starts dropping, you know, his word on me. He starts dropping and we're having a relationship. That's when I'm in heaven. I'm having a relationship with him and me and him are communing back and forth and I'm just like in this liquid cloud of honey, so to say. And at the same time, there was a fragrance of an anointing oil that we are familiar with came into the room. And all of a sudden, the Lord started dropping stuff. And I said, Sam, look this up. Find this. Find this now because God's saying something to us in this hour. And I don't want to miss what he has given us right now. And we're smelling this oil and we're basking in this presence. And we're like, oh, yum, 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 you know, and more, more, more. And Sam's like, I smell it. I smell it. I'm like, yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? And he's like, yep. And then I don't know what happened to him. And then, you know, the next thing you know, he's like, I found it. So he found it. And it's in Revelations chapter 14. In Revelations chapter 14, it says, then I looked and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their forehead. I can tell you, I believe in this hour that we're living in, God wants to put a name on you. His name written on your forehead in this hour. He's calling us. And I want to tell you one thing, and I hope everyone takes me serious. I'm not an end time guy. I'm not an end time person like the world is ending or anything like that. But I will tell you that God does things in the hour. And we are leaving one hour and coming into another hour. And in that, he is ever increasing revelation to a relationship to him. And him only. A revelation. And this word is going around the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? And now we are beginning to understand who his son is. Amen? It's that divine nature, that seed that is inside of each and every one of you that we all have. We have a seed of Christ inside of us. His son is Christ. And that's the divine nature of God that's living inside of each and every one of us. We need to understand this. We need to begin to understand this wine that is being poured out. And I hope that you're able to take off the old man and put on the new man. I hope and pray that you're able to put on the new wine skin so that the new wine can be poured inside of you. How many people understand what I'm saying here? God talks about putting on new wineskins so that we can have the new wine being poured on us, and we need it. We need it. So with that being said, he says, and I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunders. Now, he's interpreting a sound. Obviously, God's speaking. Did he speak in our language? Mm-mm. He spoke like a sound of many waters and a sound of thunder. And then he says, "And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as if it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth." I want us to begin to understand that God is raising up some people to hear that sound and to understand that sound. And I truly believe that everyone that is hearing my voice are called to hear that sound. And God is showing us and teaching us how to go about communicating to Him so that He can come back and communicate to us. How many of us really want to know the voice of God? How many of us really want to know so that when He speaks to you, you're shaken? Not an anointing, like a little conviction, okay? Because I'm going to tell you right now, my heart is deceivingly wicked. Now, you wouldn't think that I would confess that, but that's just humility coming out of me. We're all subject to fall. So if I have that place of knowing that I'm subject to fall, I want to look that my heart is deceivingly wicked, and I don't want to just jump on any conviction. Because I might have a conviction to hit you in the head. And then I can say, "Thus saith the Lord, told me to hit you, because I know who I am." I want to be shaken. I want to know that it is God moving me and shaking me like sounds of thunder and rushing water. I know the voice of the Lord, and believe me, because I truly believe in this hour that is happening, He's going to call His saints to do things that are far beyond your comprehension. You're going to get involved with reasoning and all. That's not called a leader. I'm going to tell you right now, what is a leader? What is one who is called to lead? One that has to make decisions. Sometimes those decisions don't go all the time the way everybody wants, right? Can you imagine a general in the field? Look what just happened not too long ago in the media and the news. There was decisions that were made. And I truly believe God is calling us to make decisions. And I hope and pray that we can come alongside as elders, as leaders in this ministry, to embrace what God is saying in this hour and come together electively and begin to communicate with one another so that we come to a bond in the sense of we're going to be able to hear what God is saying and be able to move in His new wine and put on the new wineskin and be bold enough to be able to declare the word so it will touch the millennium year. It's not about us anymore. Yes, it is for us to be equipped and to be trained. And I truly believe God is saying to us, saying to me, that it's time to open up our minds and open up our hearts and begin to dig deeper into the revelational knowledge that He's given to us so that we can begin to grab hold and understand and know so that we can move and operate. Amen. How many are willing to be transformed? How many are willing to leave themselves and be conformed into the Spirit? And I believe God is calling us to come into the Spirit, to come to a place to deny the flesh, to not lean on our own understanding, but to know Him the more, To have a heart, not being so caught up with the things of the world. How many people understand that it is easy to be caught up with the world? Now, I'm not saying that we have to like put ourselves in a room somewhere and dislocate ourselves from the world, but to be able to understand that we are separated and set apart. Those that hear my voice are called by his name. And when we are called by his name, he is asking us to be separated and come into his kingdom. And so if we are called by his name and to be separated and to come into his kingdom, then that means that we have to look at the priority that is in our life. Are you worried about being late for an appointment? Are you concerned about certain things in your household? Are you having control on things? Do you have control on things? Or are you releasing your control? How many people understand where I'm coming from? We need to lay a life down. How many of us understand what it's like to lay a life down? We got to. In order for us to tap into this movement, it's almost like an urgent call for the generals. How many feel like they're a leader? Amen. I'm glad you feel that way. I'm glad that you feel this way. Okay, because I truly believe that everyone hears this voice is a leader. And then there's levels of leaders. One that are ready to go now. And then there is a working progress of being a leader. But they're all leaders. They're all leaders. And we need to grab hold of what God is doing in this hour. It's fresh, it's new, and we have to be willing to put down maybe some of the doctrinal knowledge that we received and put down and come into the new. Because it's not about us. It's not about being right and wrong. It's about being able to be conformed to hear heaven. First of all, that means broken, contrite heart, not puffed up. You know, let's read about love and let's embrace in love and let's understand what love is and then become love so that we can be endured with power, walk in that prayer without ceasing. Forget about the knowledge of doctrine and let's grab hold of the truth and then be conformed to truth. I truly believe that God gives grace to those who were walking in the conviction of the doctrine from old. Okay, I believe there's a place in heaven for them. But I truly believe that God is saying, okay, now it's time. Now it's time to be transformed. It's almost like this. I wish I passed before the new movement, because then I didn't have to worry about changing. You see, I could have just stayed with my old doctrine and I would have been fine. But now I got to count everything I know as dung so that I would know him the more. So that means that I have to redo and re-know everything that I know, right? But what God is saying is not hard or strenuous. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. It's just a matter of throwing the pride down. You see? It's throwing the pride down and understanding who we are. That's what it comes down to. And that has a lot to do with, I guess, moving in your convictions. I am being convicted in a lot of areas that some might not be okay with, and that's fine, you see. We've been convicted. It seems like we've been walking in this ever since we started this ministry, and we've had a lot of people didn't like the way we did things. I shared before that we had four huge ministries that were ready to embrace us, and I probably would have been driving in my own private airplane by now if I would have just surrendered to them and their doctrine. But there was a conviction in my heart, and I was not going to yield to that way, and I held dear to my conviction. And I think that the other pastors in this place agreed with it. You know, and I was even willing to just lose everything and just go nuts. But thank God in his grace and his love that he convicted those others too, as Pastor Sam, Pastor Tim, and Pastor Kirk, and brought us in that unity to where we are building now. And we are what you call the end time harvest. You know, the end time. You know, one thing I can say is I'm very proud of those who stood in persecution. And I see the blessings that are upon them through the whole time they've been persecuted. And the growth within their own children and their wives that have come alongside of them, dearly humbling and supportive despite all that transpired. And I'm going to tell you right now, those women, get ready. Get ready, because God is calling you, and I believe that there is a massive anointing that is going to fall upon you. A massive call, because God is going to allow us to minister as one. And the beauty is, it's going to be a heaven manifestation on earth, because there is neither male nor female in the heavenlies. So there's no a gender looking thing. You know, it's just when things are manifesting, they're going to just see God. They're not going to see woman or man. They're going to see God. And the fear of God is going to come into the hearts of those that hear. And that's the beauty of what is happening right now. If you look at it, we still have gendered eyes. Think about it. Are we not still seeing male and female? But God is going to change that. It's no longer going to be male or female. You'll see. Maybe this is prophecy for 10 years from now, but you are not going to see male or female gender. Your eyes aren't going to see it. Because I know love. I have someone in my life who manifests an agape love, and I see what they see. And we're not going to see it. Not like what our flesh sees today. So with that being said, Sam wants to close. He's jumping out of his skin. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise for this here. And because of time, we're not going to minister today, but I promise you next week, we're probably going to open the altars and minister, because God wants to speak a prophetic word in your life. You see, you're moving in something. Okay, and God wants to speak something. And the two of you might, especially you, might want to start renewing the way you're thinking from your past hurts. That you. And begin to trust. Bingo. Okay? I'm sorry. But I know your heart. Okay? I know your heart. But the Lord is saying these things to you because it's time to move on. Okay? It's time to move on. And a lot of times the prophetic hurts. How many people know that? Because prophetic is truth. And nobody really wants to hear truth all the time. Everybody wants to kind of hear what they want to hear. Like, I can really build a good prophetic ministry and fill you up with a lot of fluffy fluff. And man, I'll have droves of people coming in because they want to hear the fluffy fluff. But, you know, I have to hold up holy hands, you know. I have to have them holy hands. And sometimes you got to shed some blood, because God wants to see some blood on them hands, you know, to see as the lamb was shed, you know. Well, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Sam. Amen.
Amen. That's our private jet, by the way, not yours. We're going to share that sucker. I wasn't going to speak this but until the end, until he just confirmed it, because God told me to read about Peter. And I said, why Peter? And in the beginning of the message, he said, read Acts. And I went to Acts, and it talks about Peter. And it says that, you know, back then, Peter was a Jew. And the Jews had rules that they weren't breaking, that they couldn't break, based on their pattern, based on their rules that they had to follow. And this man named Cornelius had a vision from God. And God said, bring Peter to your house. And Cornelius wasn't a Jew. He was not. And Peter came to his house, and he said, God told you to bring me to your house. And as he was there, God showed him a vision. And a blanket fell from the heaven. And it had foods that the Jews weren't supposed to eat back then. They weren't supposed to touch these foods. They were unclean. And God said, kill and eat this food. And this is Peter's response. A voice came from heaven and it said, rise, Peter, and kill and eat. But Peter said, no, Lord, not so. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And God said, and a voice spoke again from heaven and said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. And then again, they weren't supposed to fellowship with people who are not Jews. No fellowship at all. And they had little house meetings, and they were having house meetings worshiping God. The same God. No different. You know, God is the God of love. There's one God. And all the prophets have separated, like pastors, they've separated God. They've separated, you know, the prophets have separated. But there's one God, and it's the God of love. That's God. The God of love. And if your prophet's not bringing you to love, then what are you bringing them to? And the prophet worship is what's killing everybody. The prophet worship is what's separating everybody. I mean, he spoke of something today about Jesus not feeling suffering, and somebody got offended and left because they want him to suffer. They want their prophet to, oh, Jesus, well, he suffered. Don't tell me he didn't suffer. How dare you speak that way? Why do you want him to suffer? He's the same spirit that raised God from the dead dwells in you. The same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you. They want him to suffer. And you say he didn't suffer, and half the people left because of that. Because they want to worship a prophet. They don't want to go to God. They don't want to go to love. They want to judge everybody and say, you're all wrong, but I'm right. Everybody's wrong, but I'm right. And then Peter, it says that he went to this meeting. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go into another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent, for I asked them for that reason I was sent for. See, God's this is the new wine. This is the new wine. The old patterns, the old religion has got to die, or you're never going to find God. What was Jesus' whole message? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Not come to me. You got to get to the Father. And the things that I did, if you follow the thing like laying down your life, laying down your will, saying not my will, your will be done, you'll reach the Father also. His whole goal was to bring you to the Father. Not that you'd stop at him and worship him. He said, see what you're doing, do it not. Worship God and him only. Don't worship me. For everything I speak, the words I speak are not my own, but my Father who sent me. Everything I say, the Father told me to say. Everything I know, the Father told me what to know. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who sent me. We really have the new wine. We have the way to the Father. We have the way to God. We have the way to love. And love covers all the multitude of sin. There is no sin in God. There's no sin. What are we judging? Judge yourself. Humble yourselves. Humble ourselves. If we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he will lift us up. There's no other way. Really, no other way. Amen? So, have every head bowed. Father, we ask you for this new wine. Open all of our spirits up. Let us be open to your new wine, Father. To your way, Father. To your new way. Let us not follow the old patterns that lead us to destruction, Father, or to kill us, Father. But open our hearts and our minds and let revelation flow in. Let that love come in and cover all of our sin, Father. Let that love come in and cover us so that we can see you, not through judgment, but through love. In your name we pray. And Mary Beth's going to come up. She has an announcement to make real quick.
Thank you.